Test. Test, test.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to EMP. My name is Hyunsu, and today I'll be sharing from the book of Job, chapter 9. The book of Job, chapter 9. And we'll be reading from verses 4 to 11, and then from verses 32 to 35. And I'll be reading from the NIV translation. So, Job chapter 9, verses 4 to 11. And it says, "His wisdom is profound. His power is vast. Who has resisted him and come out unscathed? He moves mountains without their knowing it and overturns them in his anger. He shakes the earth from its place and makes its pillars tremble. He speaks to the sun and it does not shine. He seals off the light of the stars. He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He is the maker of the Bear and Orion, the Pleiades and the constellations of the south. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. When he passes me, I cannot see him. When he goes by, I cannot perceive him." And then down to verse 32 to 35. "He is not a mere mortal like me, that I might answer him, that we might confront each other in court. If only there was someone to mediate between us, someone to bring us together, someone to remove God's rod from me, so that his terror would frighten me no more. Then I would speak up without fear of him. But as it now stands with me, I cannot." Amen. So let's begin today with just a word of prayer. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this morning. I just thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together as a body, Father. I thank you for each and every one of my brothers and sisters here. I pray that you would be with us, that you would be with me as I speak your word, Father, that you would really just... that it would just really be a timely word for us this morning, God. I pray that you would open our hearts, God, and that really we might be sensitive to your spirit this morning. And so once again, Lord, we thank you. We love you so much. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so here we see, as many of you know, the story of Job. And this is a man of many sorrows. This is a man of suffering. And we see here that Job is faced with just the insignificance of who he is. Of all these troubles and these trials that he's facing. And he looks at God and he sees God in all his greatness. And he sees God is so amazing, so big. And yet he finds, well, what can I do as a man? And in fact, in many ways, he's complaining here. He's saying, what can I do before a God so great as this? This is a God who made the heavens and the earth, and yet I am just a mere mortal. What can I say against this God? What can I answer against him? And Job feels unjustly treated. He feels, I don't deserve all these things. I don't deserve any of the suffering that I'm going through. And yet, God is not a man like me that we can go to court together and argue, that there's not a judge we can go before we stand on equal ground, that whatever God says is correct because he is God. So actually, this as I was praying through and God gave me this verse, you know, it's very heavy stuff. You know, it's actually quite depressing. The whole book of Job is actually quite a depressing book. But just to take a step back, actually, I wanted to tell a story about something that happened to me recently. So if you've been keeping up with the news in Hong Kong lately, there's been a lot of interest in a huge yellow ducky in TST Harbor. I'm sure many of you have seen it. It's basically a large inflatable duck, and it was made by this Dutch artist. And this duck has been all over the world. It's been to Sao Paulo, it's been to Auckland, New Zealand, Amsterdam, and now it's here in Hong Kong. I'm sure you've seen it all over the news. And, you know, to be honest, I don't get it. When I first heard the news about it, I just didn't get it. Why is everybody posting these pictures on Facebook about it? Why is everybody so interested in this duck? I mean, why is everybody saying, oh, I can't wait to go to TST Harbor to see this duck? I mean, it's just a big duck, right? So 2 weeks ago, I was in I was meeting a friend in Ocean Terminal, and I was in Central at the time. So I decided, okay, I'm going to take the ferry over to TST. So I took the ferry and I crossed over, and as I got off the ferry and started walking towards Ocean Terminal in the mall, I looked over to my left, and that's when I saw it, the duck. Now, I'd seen the duck many times before, you know, in the confines of my computer screen, and a small and manageable size. So I thought, you know, I know what it's going to be like in person. I know what this duck looks like. But really, to be honest with all of you, when I saw that duck for the first time, a lot of emotions went through me. First, and this is actually really embarrassing, but I really did feel just a little bit sense of awe as I saw the duck. You know, it's this huge yellow ducky is filled my entire field of vision. You know, it's huge. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it just towers over people. And you know, in the same way that when we stand on the street and we look up at a huge skyscraper, or in the same way that if we stand at somewhere tall and we look across the horizon, I think there's something in us as human beings that responds to something that's so much bigger than us. There's a sense of awe that comes. Not only that, but I also felt a second more embarrassing emotion, and that emotion was fear. Now, I wasn't terrified of the duck. I wasn't like, I don't have a duck phobia, so there was no terror for the duck. But as I was standing there at that harbor and looking up at this huge duck, this huge, in fact, not even duck, let's say yellow creature, this being towering over me, and you know, I could see the crowd in front of it, and I could see the crowd around me just staring at this duck, and it was so big. It's like those movies where you see, I don't know, like a giant spaceship, and it's just silent and not moving. But that's right before it shoots out lasers and starts attacking. And this is the kind, I don't know what it was, but there's something about this duck that just kind of elicited this kind of, this fear response in me. And I wonder many times, if we have that same attitude that I had about God before I saw the duck in real life. You know, we see God many times, we think of God many times in a safe and manageable size. You know, we place him in the same way that I just saw the duck in my computer screen. We place God in a designated amount of space in our life. And he's a very safe God. You know, oh, he's a God that loves me. He's a God that cares for me, and pretty much I'm free to do whatever I want. I'm not afraid. You know, we place him in these safe and manageable sizes, these designated amount of space, and all the while, I think we forget sometimes about the fullness, the full magnitude of his glory, of his power. We call him Father, you know, because he is our Father. But that familiarity means that sometimes we come to him with every request. You know, we say, Lord, help me, please. God, I need this. Father, I want that. And oftentimes, these are the only reasons that we come before God in prayer. And because he's so familiar to us, because he gives us such free access, sometimes we take him for granted. We treat him like we would a respected authority figure here on earth, a parent maybe, a teacher, maybe even sometimes just a friend. And when things go wrong, when things don't go the way that we wanted, when we don't get answers to our prayer, then we start to grumble against him and say, you know, God, why? Didn't you say you love me? I want this and you didn't give it to me. Why not? And if we're honest with ourselves, I think many times we start to wonder, you know, does this God really love me? Does he really care for me? Does he really have my good in mind? And yet in chapter 9, as we just read, in Job chapter 9, you know, we get this picture of Job who is in full recognition of the difference between him as lowly man and God, the Almighty God. He paints really an awe-inspiring picture of God as a supernaturally powerful being who is able to move mountains. It says he is able to move mountains without their knowing it. and overturns them completely in his anger. It says in verse 7 that he is able to keep the sun itself from shining, and he blocks out the light of the stars. You know, we get just a glimpse. I mean, this is not even the full picture of who the power and the immensity of God, the potency of God. You know, it's not, we see that he alone treads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He's the maker of the Bear and Orion, the Pleiades. The stars in the heaven are all made by him, the maker of the heavens and earth. This is not a tame image of God that we often have in our minds. It's not an old, nice old man with a white beard stroking it in his white robes flowing behind him, listening to our problems, nodding along and saying, sometimes he helps us along. You know, this is an image of a being that is far beyond our grasp. It's far beyond what we can even begin to comprehend. This is not a God whose reach is on a human scale that we can understand and relate to, but it's on a cosmic one. He performs wonders, it says in verse 10, that we cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted. When he passes by me, I cannot see him. And when he goes by, I cannot perceive him. In the same way that we stand on an earth that is hurtling through space at speeds we cannot even comprehend, and yet we don't feel any of it. And so great is God that when he passes by, when he moves, we don't even see it. And this is the image of God. And Job sees God for this greatness, for the fullness of this, his comparison. He sees God as the Almighty God, not as a safe and small God that we often place him in our hearts, but as this huge and immense being. And Job, who has lost all of his great wealth, you know, in a moment, everything that he had was gone. In a moment, his 7 sons and his 3 daughters were killed. And now his body is covered in boils from head to toe, where he has to use pot shards to scratch himself, to give him some relief. You know, his wife has come to him and said, "Why don't you just curse God and go and die?" And his friends are all slandering him and saying, "Look at all that has befallen you. You must have done something bad. You must have some kind of secret sin in your life. Otherwise, why would all this happen?" And so everybody has turned his back on Job. And Job is facing all these afflictions. And yet Job says that he is too terrified before this overwhelming God. That though he feels he is in the right, yet he is too terrified to say something. And he says, "If only there was someone to mediate between us. Someone to bring us together." He wishes there was somebody who would stand in the gap so that his voice might be heard, that he might have his day, as it were, in court. And yet, really this morning, I just really want to share with all of us, you know, what an amazing thing, once again, just to be reminded again, what an amazing hope that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, it says in 1 John chapter 2, it says that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And in fact, I would say that, you know, I don't think sometimes this verse is not the fullness of that meaning, because it is not that we have an advocate, but that we have been given an advocate. That yes, it's so true what Job is saying, that God's wisdom is profound, his power is vast. No one can resist God and come unscathed. He's not a normal man that we might come before him. And it brings fear in Job's heart. And in fact, for us too, when faced against this almighty God, there is no other response that we can have but fear and trembling. In the same way that God had to shield Moses with his hand as he passed by, if we were even to get a partial glimpse of the glory of God, as we see over and over again in the Bible, we would want to die. We would in fact be killed, because we as humans are unable to have the capacity to fully comprehend God's greatness. And yet praise God that he has given us an advocate with Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. And once again, let's be reminded that Jesus is our great mediator, our righteous advocate. That it's because of his sacrifice that we can come freely before God. We can come freely that though we are sinners, and yet we are made righteous and holy by his blood and adopted fully as sons. You know, many times, all of us know the extent of our own sinfulness. And yet it says in the book of Job, it says that Job was a man that was blameless. And how many of us, and though we are not close to the righteousness that Job had, and yet we are given so much more, that we have this advocate, that we have this mediator. And now it is not only that we can come to God, not in court, not on equal ground, but even more so as close, as sons of God, as his children. And not only is Christ our advocate, but he continues to be our advocate. He continues to be our advocate to the Father. And God, who is really beyond all measure, who is infinitely beyond us. You know, I think we sometimes forget that God is so powerful. He could destroy the world with just a passing thought and recreate it again with just a single word. And this God, to whom we are no bigger than motes of dust, that we are so insignificant if you consider the cosmic scale of who God is and who we are. And yet, compared to the terror that Job feels, what a privilege that we have that he sent his son as an advocate. He saw how afraid, he saw that our incapacity to fully face him. And he sent his son as an advocate for us so that we might not be afraid. That he says again and again in the Bible, whenever the people of God are encountered with him, the first thing that we always hear often and often again is, do not be afraid. That God is our loving Father. And in his love, he has sent someone so that we might be able to approach him. And this whole month, you know, we've been talking about humility. We've been talking about, you know, humbling ourselves. And even, in fact, P-Nate, you know, we learned a really important lesson. You know, different aspects of humility. Humility regarding God. Humility regarding ourselves. Humility regarding others. But I think when we're faced with the reality of who God is, we're faced with the reality of how small we are in comparison to God, at the fullness of his mercy, the fullness of his grace that we can approach him, I think this is the only way that we can fully come into to have a humble heart. That we come in thankfulness and say to him, God, we thank you so much that we don't have to live in fear. We thank you so much that we are not crushed by just a passing thought. That the mountain, that we are not like the mountains which are overturned without even their knowing it. That you show mercy and kindness on us. That you show mercy and kindness where we can come to you. And as a father, not that we take that for granted, but we with the fullness of a thankful and appreciative heart, we come before him and we say, thank you, Father. That we can come before you as familiars, as your children. That we are not like Job, who is so afraid that he says, if only I had somebody to remove God's rod from me, that his terror would frighten me no more. And in fact, we do have someone like that. We have been given so much. And so we don't have any reason to fear God. But that gives us even more reason to humble ourselves. And so it's my hope once again this morning that we're reminded of how great God is. And I think that when we come into a fuller recognition of how great God is, and yet how kind he is, in giving us this very advocate that Job is talking about here in chapter 9, I think that will move our hearts, and hopefully it will move each of our hearts towards greater humility before him. And so today, as Sarah leads us in a song of worship, let's just continue to meditate upon just that greatness of God. You know, not to place him in the narrow confines of the box that we often put him in. Because God is not a God that can be contained by what our minds can comprehend. But really, let's just come with that confession. Let's come with that realization that we cannot fully comprehend this God. And yet he is so great and so loving. And so let's just spend some time in meditation and worship. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this morning, let's just spend some time in prayer. You know, if any of us, you know, sometimes we feel that we can't approach the Father, that our lives, we've done things or we've disappointed, and we feel we've disappointed God, and we feel we can't approach Him. And yet this morning, let's just come before God and let's just really just lay our hearts before Him, knowing that He is our Father. He loved us so much that God is so amazing that not only is He the maker of the heavens and the earth, but he is also that gentle God that comes and fills up the empty places in our hearts. And so as we come today, let's just spend some time just coming before the Father, just laying down whether it is complaints in our heart, whether it is just repentance in our hearts. Let's just come before him freely, a God who loves us, a Father who now gives us free access to him. Yes, Jesus. Let's continue also now to pray for our community. Let's pray for those who have cancer, those who are going through chemotherapy, those who are waiting for a transplant. And this will really stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters, that God's hand of mercy, his hand of healing would be upon them. Let's pray together. Let's also continue to pray for those suffering through sickness, but also really need that word of salvation in our life. And not only that God would come in his amazing healing, but also he would bring restoration to their souls as he draws them near to him. Let's also pray for those who are suffering through different illnesses. Let's also pray for those who are looking for jobs, and really that God who's a God of provision, that he would provide for them, and that as these brothers and sisters spend time waiting, that they would really trust in God and really spend this time just seeking after him. Let's turn now to our mission focus for this morning. And And let's really pray for our local ministries, our local churches here in Hong Kong. Let's also pray for YWAM, for Sports Services International, for Shanti Ministries, for Masters Beauty, for Red Light District, for the Red Light District Outreach, for Face to Face, for Feed the Hungry, and for Christian Solidarity worldwide. Let's pray for our local ministries. Let's also pray for our missions committee. Let's pray for P. Eugene, Jamie Donaldson, John Kang, Sarah Ho, Ji Sun, and Kiwan Chung. Let's also pray for our local outreach ministry. Let's pray for the community center for Igape, for the homeless ministry, and also for SP Lights and the prison ministry. Let's also pray for P. Sam and P. Eugene as they're away. Let's just really pray that God would just continue to watch over them, and that just as they come back to Hong Kong, that God's protection would continue to be with them. Let's also pray for our city here in Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government. Let's also pray for the wealth gap. Just really that gap between the poor and the rich. Let's just really pray for just restoration. Let's also pray for a revival, that we would be for City on a Hill, Light to China. And let's just really pray for our city, just around us, the area around us, that God has placed us here for a reason. And so let's just really pray for the community around us. Finally, let's pray for the evening activities for today. Let's pray for the house churches, McCain House Church, as they meet tonight. Let's pray for IP meeting, for college ministry, which is meeting upstairs on the 10th floor, for the worship team retreat that is going this weekend to Chung Chau, and also for the Israel team that P. Sam is leading, that as they return tomorrow. Let's just really pray for our brothers and sisters. So, Father, we thank you this morning. We just thank you, Father, so much for your mercy and your grace unto us. That though we don't deserve it, that though we are so small, and yet you take us gently in your hands. And once there, Lord, we know that nothing can take us from that place. And so, God, continue to work in our hearts. Continue to work in our lives, that we might live our lives with humility. Humility in regards to you and who you are. Humility in regards to who we are in relation to you. And humility to those around us, Father. I thank you, God, once again for just your kindness to us, Lord. We love you so much. So we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.